Magic go down. Season is over. Fall 105-87 last night. Poll question you can vote on 740thegame.com. Should the Magic blow up this team? What are the results right now?
It was 66% leaning towards yes. It has now gone down to a more mild 60%. Say yes, they should blow the team up.
Let's talk more about the Orlando Magic going forward and the NBA. Chris Sheridan covers the NBA for SheridanHoops.com, joins us here for a few minutes. So, Chris, what's your thoughts on the poll? Should the Orlando Magic blow up this team going forward?
Well, which way do you want to blow it up? You want to blow it up by getting rid of Stan and Otis, or you want to blow it up by trading Dwight Howard? Because I think you have to do one of the two, Brian. You can't go through another season like you just went through this year. And certainly all those guys have shown that they can't live together long-term. I think they did what seemed like the smart thing back at the trade deadline when they induced Dwight to opt in for the final year of his contract. But then, you know, we saw where things went from there, and Dwight had his back surgery, and the infamous press conference where Dwight came over and hugged Stan after Stan just said, "Dwight wants to be fired." You can't go on like that. So you have to blow up the team to a certain degree, and if I'm voting in that poll, I probably say the thing to do is to trade Dwight Howard, because Dwight Howard is still going to bring you back a hell of a lot in return. And now that he's opted in for that final year of his contract, he's tradable. You can trade him tomorrow. You can trade him on draft night. You can trade him over the summer, and you can make him somebody else's problem, whether they believe he's going to stick around after he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, if the Hawks had lost last night, I would have said, look, the Hawks are a perfect match, because you can trade Dwight to his hometown and you could probably get back Al Horford and something else. And the Hawks are another team that, you know, they've been spinning their wheels for 5 years. Charles Barkley said on TNT last night, "I've been watching this movie for 5 years and it always ends the same way. The boat sinks." And he was talking about the Hawks, but you know, to their credit, the Hawks pulled one out and beat the Celtics and moved on to a game six. But it's a long way of answering your question. Yeah, you have to blow it up. It's just a matter of what method are you going to use.
If they decide to go that route and decide to move Dwight Howard, aren't they in the same situation that they've been in before this season where, yeah, Dwight's under contract for 1 year, but is any team going to want to trade for him if they don't get a long-term guarantee?
Well, the Golden State Warriors were willing to, and the Los Angeles Lakers were willing to. And, you know, when you go back on it and look at it with 2020 hindsight, I wonder if the Magic front office is thinking, you know what, we should have just gone and traded him to the Lakers and let him be their problem. Because, you know, Dwight has a lot of money at stake if he opts out of his contract and becomes a free agent. He doesn't get to keep extending off his higher and higher number that he has in his current contract. So, yeah, it's going to be somebody else's problem, but you don't want it to be your problem anymore. You've just gone through the worst soap opera season in Orlando Magic history, and at a certain point, you got to say enough is enough. Let's get rid of this guy and let's get all we can for him. And look, he's the best center in the NBA, Brian, so it's not like you're not going to get anything back for him. And you find a trading partner that also needs to blow it up for whatever reason. And there's 29 other teams in the league. You find a way to do it, and then you move on. But if it's if you come to the conclusion that this guy is too much of a head case or too much of a problem or headache, I should say, to have around for another full year. And if you've come to the conclusion that he and Stan Van Gundy can't work together anymore, you have to get rid of one of the two. And since everything fell apart so completely after the middle of March, I say you go and you move an asset and you get back as much as you can, and you do that by trading Dwight. Whereas if you just fire the coach, you got to go out and find yourself another coach, but you still got the same problem that you started this year with. You got Dwight Howard on an expiring contract, and you don't know if he wants to stay or not.
Speaking with Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com here, open mic 740 The Game. You've been covering the NBA for a long time. Have you ever seen, or when was the last time you ever saw a season like this with a team with as much drama as this team has gone through, and how detrimental can this be to a franchise going forward?
Well, the Nuggets had it last year with Carmelo Anthony, and they handled it well. They played the Knicks and the Nets off each other because those were the two places where Carmelo was trying to force a trade, and they got back quite a bounty. They got back four players and three draft picks and money from the Knicks when they did move their franchise player. But it was a soap opera in Denver last year, but it was a soap opera that had an ending in mid-season. I can't remember the last time that there was a franchise player like this who was kind of holding a city and his team hostage, and the storyline never went away, and it kept taking different twists and turns, and it finally ended dismally with that star player nowhere in sight. So that's a good question, Brian, and I wish I could give you a better answer, but you know, the Lakers probably, with some of their drama acts when the Shaq Kobe show was falling apart, and Jerry Buss didn't want to give Shaq an extra $100 million, maybe that matches it's somewhat drama wise. But that was centered around two players and not one, and it had nothing to do with the coach. So this was kind of an unprecedented story, as far as I could tell.
How much damage has Dwight done to his reputation? What is his perception now around the league?
I think he's done a tremendous amount of damage to his reputation. I think he's taken over. Well, I don't know if he's taken over, but I think he's equaled LeBron James as a person that people look at completely differently than they looked at a year ago. You know, Dwight was a guy who who's come up through the NBA and been a key member of Team USA, and he's wrapped himself in the flag, and he's been a good soldier. He took the Orlando Magic to the finals practically all by himself that year. They went and played the Lakers. And then all of a sudden, he wanted out of Central Florida, and everybody knew it. There's no more secrets in the NBA. And it went right down to the end of training camp when it still looked like he was going to get traded to the New Jersey Nets. And the Magic hierarchy, whether it was Mr. DeVos or Mr. VanderWaard, said, you know what, let's just take our chances with him, because he is the damn best center in the NBA, and we really think we can win a championship with him. And with the way Orlando started the season, it only strengthened that belief that they're a team that can really contend. Maybe they'll need a break here or there, but with the way they shoot the three ball and with the way Dwight can overpower just about anybody in the league, it made sense to try to take one last shot with Dwight, and then if you got to move him, you got to move him. Well, you took your shot, and it didn't work out, and now you got to move him. And you know, as much as his back surgery is going to diminish his value a little, as much as what the public thinks of him is going to diminish his value, he still has a lot of value on the trade market. So, and guys have reinvented themselves fix their reputations after going through bad breakups before. You know, Kobe Bryant, I'll give you a perfect example. He was a guy who was pretty much considered public enemy number one when he was going all through that stuff in Colorado. And that's a long, long way from people's short-term memories now. So Dwight is certainly in the same category as Kobe as far as one of the top-tier talents in the league. And he's got a lot of years in front of him. So it's not like Dwight's reputation is irreparable. Same with LeBron. LeBron, if he delivers on the championships, multiple championships that he promised, people's perceptions of him are going to change back toward the positive. But I think certainly both of those guys have hurt themselves and hurt their Q ratings through their desire to leave the cities where they started their NBA careers.
Last thing, I know we're only in the first round of the NBA playoffs. I want to get your impression on the playoffs so far, because I can't wait to get to the next round, because there's really been some pretty ugly basketball in the first round.
Well, I'm just writing that this morning, writing about last night's games. And, you know, these playoffs are really horrible. You know, what are we talking about? ACLs, broken ACLs, broken fire extinguishers, Meta World Peace sort of sitting out of suspension. The games haven't been all that compelling unless you've been watching the Clippers-Grizzlies series. It's been really the only good series.
That Bulls-Sixers game last night was 39-29 in the third quarter.
it was ridiculous. And the first round has really been lame. However, out of the four elimination games last night, three teams that were facing elimination got the wins that they needed, and so now we move into game sixes, and one of these game sixes is going to lead to a game seven, and the playoffs are probably going to get a lot better and a lot more interesting as we go through tonight and Thursday and Friday. So, but there was a chance if all four of these games had ended in teams getting eliminated, there was a chance for a couple of dead days, and I think it would have taken probably another week for the NBA to regain some sort of traction just by having a couple good teams play each other. You guess one of the things about the first round is you often have a lot of mismatches, and we've seen that with the Spurs and the Thunder both swept teams that were spent from just trying to qualify for the playoffs, and then we had a Magic team that didn't have Dwight Howard. We got a Bulls team that's barely breathing without Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. So the playoffs will get better as they go along, but you really want the first round to be compelling, and you want a few of them, maybe three of them, to go to a game seven, because it really gets the blood boiling and the juices flowing, and that's what basketball fans want. They don't want to see ugly, low scoring basketball between teams that aren't really competitive against each other. And I think last night was, I think David Stern wakes up this morning and breathes a sigh of relief and says, well, let's see where we go with these game sixes. And, maybe the Knicks and the Grizzlies can keep things compelling by winning their games tonight and forcing game sixes in those series. And then the whole dynamics of the first round change, and it becomes a real good basketball weekend. So that's the neat thing, Brian, about the NBA playoffs. You just don't know, and the storylines can change so quickly. But if you get to a game six or a game seven in any series, it's interesting to watch because there's a sense of desperation that these guys are playing with, and as long as it's not a team that's a lost cause like the Orlando Magic were last night, you're gonna see teams fight. You saw it out of the Nuggets last night, even though they almost collapsed against Kobe. A lot of teams almost collapsed against Kobe, but the Bulls did what they needed to do to push that game, and the Hawks did what they needed to do, and they got their center back playing a ton of minutes, way more than they expected. So that game goes back to Boston, and look, Atlanta's a scrappy team. Atlanta can go up to Boston and win and force a game seven. So I think the playoffs could get a lot better over the next couple of days, and last night was critical for that.
He's Chris Sheridan, covering the NBA at SheridanHoops.com. You can keep up with everything, and I mean everything, going on at the NBA over at SheridanHoops.com. Chris, thanks again for the time. Always appreciate it.
All right, Brian, thank you for the plug, and thanks for having me on.
You got it.